When do we begin teaching imagination to our children? This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Capa, California, with Instant Illumination. When do we begin teaching our children imagination? Well, the children have imagination pretty much all by themselves. They're quite content with imagination. They're quite content with coming up with beautiful things that everybody else finds it difficult to look at or finds it difficult to see. But it's there. Now, how do we teach them imagination? This is a very good question, because it is something that can be beneficial. It's something that can be useful, something that can be wonderful. We watched my three sons the other night, and the two older boys were going camping, and the younger boy had to stay home. And so the father said, well, camp out in the backyard, you know. And so finally he decided to camp in the backyard. And he had made a little thing that looked like Huckleberry Finn's raft on the Mississippi River. Uh-huh. And it was big enough for a little boy to lay down in and sit in and play in. And he did, all by himself. Well, as he did this, his father explained to him how it could work, explained how he could imagine going down the river and imagine all sorts of things. Well, it just so happened that the father went out to see what the boy was doing, and at the time he did, he left his house key in the house. He didn't have it in his pocket. The door got closed, and he got locked outside. So he had to join his son in his Huckleberry Finn experience. Well, in the 3 or 4 minutes that they showed the event, it was like a full couple of hours.
Yes.
And the thunderstorm came up, and lightning and thunder everywhere. And everything was quite exciting. And there were noises, and there were cat noises, and the cat was being chased by something else. And it was just really quite an exciting adventure for even us who looked on and we knew that it was all made up, you know.
Yeah.
But it was very nice to watch. But as the father explained it to the boy, he could see how floating down the river was so exciting and how they had such exciting adventures and how there was a ghost that even appeared. And a ghost appeared. Mm-hmm. And the ghost appeared as one of the, his grandfather came back from an evening out, and he was looking in the backyard and saying, what's all this going on back here? But he had a raincoat over his head, and so he looked like a ghost coming along. And they thought sure he was a ghost, and everybody thought he was a ghost. And Dad, who was laying in the Huckleberry Finn house with the boy, had to pull his legs in because they stuck out and the rain was getting him all wet. And then the rain came through the roof, which wasn't designed to be a really rainproof roof. But they had fun. And it was something that the boy will never forget. Now, he wondered, as the event closed, did my brothers have as much fun in their real camping experience out in the woods as we did here in the backyard? And life is like that. We can have all sorts of vivid experiences in our life by having an imagination, by thinking, well, what are these things? What's going on? And who's going on where? And what's happening here? And as you think of all these things, what's going on? And the father, who can add a lot of imagination himself, because he's been through that as a child, and he never grew out of his imagination, told his son all of these wonderful things, and the boy visualized them with his father. But that's something that parents just don't seem to do much of. We seem to be more against children's imagination than we are for it. Now, when kids go to school, what is the first thing that happens when kids are in school generally? Kids are sick and tired of the boredom that they have to experience in school, because their minds are so much more advanced than what they're being presented. They're being presented with 1930, 1950 educational programs which did not have taking into effect television, class radio, computers and other things like that. And children today, when they get on computer games, they are working so fast, they are using their skills so quickly. And Ellen was sleeping with her granddaughter the other night in Lugano, and she woke up and heard her granddaughter fiddling away, and she had taken out her cell phone, and she was typing a note to her friend and sending it by the SMS note. And her friend was sending notes back and forth, and they were communicating. They're supposed to be sleeping, you know. But their imagination, their genius was just too brilliant, too excited to do that. And the five-penny show last night that we watched had in it Danny Kaye and a little girl. And the little girl was 5 or 6 years old, or 8, 11 years, 10 years old, whatever it was. And she was at home, and the mother was visiting her mother, who was ill. And so the father told her to go to bed. And then he and his cronies were playing poker in the other room. And she came out, and she came out. And finally, the friends left. And she came out when her father sat back down to play rummy or whatever he played. And she says, "I'm going to play with you." And her imagination was just great. She had watched how her father and the other men played the game and how they bluffed their way through the game. And she played a hand with a perfect bluff. She played the hand so coolly that her father believed that she had a tremendous hand. And he threw his hand down, and finally, even after having heavily invested in peanuts with it, and she had nothing. She had nothing, but she won because she stayed in the game.
Yeah.
Now, that takes a very mature consciousness to be able to do that. Because if you play, most people play to win. She played to have fun. She played to put one over on her dad. She played to see if she could make her father act improperly and have her win. He did. He believed she had something, and she didn't. But these are playing games. These are using our imagination. These are using the creativity that we have within us. And the more we teach that to our children, the more wonderful things happen. But now, my point goes a step further. Children have a great imagination all by themselves. But if we could teach them an educated imagination, that would be even greater. My son and I were driving to the train station the other night in San Luis Obispo. And on the way to the train station, he and I were driving alone. On the way to the train station, we brought up a subject. And the subject, I forget what it was right now, but the subject was very deep. It was very intellectual, very profound. And we talked about it, and we talked about it, and we were just totally immersed in it. And before we knew it, there we were, you know. And so the big thing was, I told him, I said, "Gee, you know, that was a nice chat we had, a good talk. Reminded me of the time we talked about batteries one time as we were coming back from Los Angeles to San Diego." And he said, yeah, I remember that. And then I wrote him an email and sent him his picture and said, "Great to be with you. Enjoyed my visit." And he wrote an email back and said, "We enjoyed your visit too." And then he said, "I really enjoyed the profound discussion that we had." And he says, "I would like to do it often." And of course I would too. But you see, the profound discussion that we had was based upon a little bit of fact and a lot of creative thinking. And the creative thinking is what makes the world go round. When these boys and girls who are working on computers have something that boggles their mind, immediately they go in and they try to hack a program which will allow them to get inside of whatever is boggling their mind. And they do it. Because their imagination, yeah, it's just a bunch of figures. Let's see, how can I do it? Now, this can do that, and that can do this. Now, how can I do that if I want to do this? And actually, as it ends up most of the time, it's so simple. The procedure that they're using in hacking and procedure that they're using in developing new programs and developing new things are so simple that they can just do it in no time at all. When they were advertising the iPhone and the iPod and so forth, and they were telling how so many people are creating applications for the iPhone and so forth, and that one company created a game, and they heard they could put the game on. Well, they had to get the game ready for virtually the next evening. And so they got their people together, they put all these things together, and by the next evening, they had a sophisticated program there that was so good that Apple immediately put it on top of their list. It was a game, and the game had so many people in it, and so many parts, and so many things going on, and people moving their hands, and moving the balls, and whatever they were moving, you know. But it was a complex program. If you could look at the computer printout of the of the program itself, it would be quite extensive, maybe 3 or 4 pages of copy. And that's magic. Now, not for them. Because if I say to you, Ellen, speak Russian. And Ellen says, just a minute, I'll get my Russian dictionary out. Ya, da, nein, you know, na, and so forth, yet. So she looks at her dictionary, and it's very, very rough. But if Ellen would just say, huh, I know Russian. I know every language. I know that I know that I know. And then all of a sudden, she'd just start talking it. She'd be surprised. She can. She spent time over in Russia. She spent a week or two, you know. And she spent time looking at our book that we have published in Russia and all of these other things that we've done. But the thing is, she always told herself it's too difficult to know, it's too difficult to learn, it's too difficult to remember all that stuff. Well, it wouldn't be too difficult if she had a boyfriend who only spoke Russian and she wanted to have a good friendship with him. She'd learn Russian very quick in a hurry. And people do. People do that because they have the motivation and they have the imagination to move into it. The first imagination is, I can do it. I know it. Not that I can't, not that it's going to be tough, but it's easy. And this is what, it'd be so nice if parents could just teach their children that dream your craziest dream and you'll be amazed at how wonderful it is. And it is. So, let's us join the children and pretend that we're little children and dream our wonderful dreams and have beautiful things taking place in our life because they truly do. So, know that I love you and I love you eternally.
I love you.